Happy Sabbath, church family. It sure is good to be with you today. Last week, I was in church in Innsbruck, Austria. I was there at the wedding of my cousin Anna and Thomas, and there's Axel. I see Axel too. A beautiful wedding in Austria. Thomas is from Austria, and Anna's dad is from Austria, and I got to do a wedding in Austria. How good is that? Beautiful, and I worshiped with the Adventist church there in Innsbruck, Austria, last Sabbath, which was a lot of fun. I got to hang out at a church in Iceland as well. I hung out with an Adventist pastor there, a grandfather of someone I went to school with at Southern. And he showed me all around that part of Iceland, showed me the little Adventist church there. It's always fun for me to see where people worship around the world and sometimes worship with them and see how they worship. It's always fun to see God's family all over the globe. It's good to be home, though. Very good to be home. This week, Erin said to me, she was getting ready for some of the stuff with Josh and Callie for school, and she said, hey, you want to see an experiment I'm doing with the kids? And I said, well, what is it? And she said, well, I've got a glass of milk, and then I've got an equal-sized glass that's filled with popcorn, and I can put the popcorn in the milk, and it won't over the whole bunch of popcorn, cups worth, in the milk, and it won't overflow. And I was like, I don't believe that. And so, I'm going to have them, how many of you think that's possible, by the way? Anybody? How many of you think it's not possible to do that? Sounds impossible, so I'm going to have my two assistants, Josh and Callie, come up here and help me out, because I was a little doubtful that this could happen. I didn't really believe that it was possible. So we've got two clear glasses here. We'll fill this one with popcorn. Whoop. Let's see here. Get that in there. Is that about full? Let's pick this up here. Okay, so we've got the popcorn. And Josh, you've got the milk, so let's put this here. I'll go ahead and pour that. All right. So we've got regular 2% milk here, and that's pretty full, right? Let's set this right. Let's give this to Mom. There we go. All right. So Josh and Callie, we've got a full glass of milk right here, and we've got a full glass of popcorn. So Josh, what I want you to do is start putting popcorn here. Let's turn around so everybody can see here. I'll hold this in the middle, and you just start putting popcorn in there. And maybe I'll help you a little bit. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me looking at it to think that you could put two cupfuls worth of something into one cupful and not have it overflow, which is where I had a little bit of doubt when Erin was telling me about this. And I was like, there's no way you can do that. So we were in the kitchen, and Josh was putting the popcorn in just like this. So we've gone, I don't know, maybe a quarter of the way through this. And we've got some more popcorn. All right, Josh, go ahead and put a little more in there. Is it going, can anybody see this? Is it going up at all? No, it's not. Isn't that bizarre? I had to walk all the way into the kitchen to see this because I didn't believe that Erin said this was that this was actually possible. Let's here sprinkle this on a little bit. It's making funny noises. Let it soak in just a little bit more. Put some more in there. Makes just a little sizzling noise, which is kind of bizarre. But the milk hasn't gone up at all, has it? Not at all, but we filled almost a whole cup's worth of popcorn into this glass of milk, right? Let's see if we can get some more in there, Josh. We're almost down to the last little bit. Callie, you can throw some in there too. Almost done. Smells like popcorn. It smells really good. Almost done. Let's dump that all in there. That one's empty now. And the whole content of the one cup went into the other cup without making it overflow. Pretty crazy, right? I didn't believe it until I actually saw it. I heard the theory of it, and I thought, I don't know about that. It sounds interesting, but really? You could put a whole cup's worth into a cup's worth and not have it even really go up. So I walked into the kitchen, like I mentioned, and I saw the whole thing, and I watched, and after I watched and I saw that it actually did go all the way in, blew my mind a little bit, that it went all the way in and didn't overflow, and you could put all that extra stuff in there, I thought, that's really cool. And then, once I'd seen it, I believed it could happen. Sometimes, thank you guys, you can go throw that away. I don't think anybody wants that one. I won't get mobbed like I did with the donuts a couple weeks ago with that one, I don't think. Sometimes we have to see something to believe it, right? Sometimes things sound so outlandish that we've got to have a little bit of visual evidence that it's real. Sometimes we struggle with believing something if we can't see it. And you're not alone if sometimes you struggle in your faith because you can't see God. But God, I believe, is there. Sometimes we have doubts. And sometimes we demand, well, I have to see something if I'm going to really, truly believe in God. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20. We're going to go through a story quickly today. John chapter 20. And we're going to look at a couple other people that are kind of like us that really need to see something to believe it. John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, who was it? Mary Magdalene. She went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Who is that? John. And said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb, so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Verse 6, then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there. Verse 7, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Verse 8, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in, he saw, and he believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away and went to their own homes. Verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting there, and one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13, then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be a gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned to him and said, "Teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Don't touch me yet, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. We have several people that are up very early on this Sunday morning. First of all, we have Mary. She's up before the sun is even up. I don't like being up that early in the morning. It takes something very special to get me up before the sun is up. And for Mary, this was a very special thing. She wanted to go to the grave of the Lord. So she's up before the sun is up. It's dark, and she's going out. But there's somebody else that's been up for a little while, too. You see, Jesus was raised from the dead that same morning, early. And it's a big deal there. You remember the story that the guards fall away? And here is Jesus in the tomb, risen from the dead, one of the biggest events in human history. And Jesus doesn't just take off and go. Mary's on her way, and Jesus just stays there. Jesus has a lot of other places he could go. Jesus hasn't yet, this is the first time Jesus has experienced separation from the Father. You would think that as soon as he's up, man, I'm going straight to the Father. Or I'm going to go up here to all the disciples. And yet Jesus hangs around in this cemetery waiting. Why would Jesus do this? Why would Jesus just hang out there? And as Mary's coming, Jesus is waiting. He says, well, she's not here yet, and Peter and John aren't here yet. And he takes his linen, and in the this Bible, it calls it a napkin, but it's not the same kind of napkin that we use. It was the cloth that was wrapped around Jesus' head. It was different from the rest of the cloth that wrapped his body in burial. This was the one that was wrapped around his head. And Jesus, early in the morning, takes this cloth, and there's no one there yet. He's got time to kill, apparently. And he takes this, and he just starts to fold it. Just folding it. Just folding it. Sets it down. And here they come. Here they come. She runs into Peter and John, tells them. They sprint, and I always enjoy this picture because it totally fits my imagination of Peter, that he was a little behind John. He was kind of a big guy maybe. And they go sprinting, and John beats him there. And John looks in first, and John sees the clothes. Peter comes in, and they look around. Verse 6 says, and Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw this, and this is important here. When John saw these linen clothes folded, that is when John believed. John was there at the crucifixion, right? John spent the Sabbath with everybody else. And yet John had a struggle with believing that Jesus was who he said he was. And it wasn't until he went in that tomb, looked around, and he spotted the folded napkin, the folded cloth from Jesus' head that was folded right there. And that was the time that John really got it and really believed in Jesus. Now, did Jesus have to do that? Did Jesus have to sit there and quietly fold that thing and leave it right there? No, he didn't have to do that. Why would he do that? I would like to suggest to you that he did that knowing that John needed to see this. Now, why would this make a big difference? Because they had put a guard around, because they said the disciples were probably going to try and steal Jesus' body, right? That thieves would come in and try and rob the tomb. And with the disappearance of Jesus' body, John's like, whoa, what? Did somebody really steal Jesus? And yet when he comes into that tomb, he looks in the tomb and he realizes that no thief is going to fold the clothes and leave it folded there. Jesus wasn't, his body wasn't stolen. Jesus rose on the third day just like he said he would. And this little reminder to John that I can just picture in my mind Jesus there early in the morning. It's dark still, and the angels are there, and Jesus is like, I'm going to fold this thing real fast because it's going to make a big difference for somebody that I love to help believe in me a little bit more. You see, I believe that God gives us reminders of his love throughout the day, throughout our week. Little bits and pieces that he goes out of his way to remind us who he is. You see, Mary misses this whole thing. She's outside crying. And the two guys just, boom, they're gone. They take off. Mary doesn't catch the folded clothes part. But Jesus sticks around even longer for Mary to help her believe. Isn't that awesome that God goes the extra mile to help us believe? And then when our faith gets a little bit less, he goes the extra mile again to help us believe again. And so Mary is, she's crying, she's in tears, and she runs into these two angels. And they're like, why are you crying? She must have been a little confused. Well, you're sitting in an empty tomb. You know who is here. You know why I'm crying. I don't know where they've taken my Lord. and she turns around and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him at first. And you see, Jesus has stuck around this whole time just for her, just to help her believe in him. He had so many other places he could be, so many other people to see, and yet he waits around in a cemetery so that Mary will see him and believe. And she thinks he's a gardener, and she's like, just tell me where you've taken him. That must have done Jesus' heart an awful lot of good to hear that. And finally he goes, Mary! They knew each other. Well, he's Mary. I mean, imagine if you didn't recognize somebody that you knew really well at the time and maybe passed a little bit, and they said, hey, you! And you looked and you're like, whoa, I didn't even recognize you. And she then the light turns on and she goes, Jesus, teacher. And he says, I haven't even gone to see my father yet. I stayed here for you. I stayed here to help you believe. I folded the clothes to help John believe. I stuck around to help you out. How awesome of a God is that? That he goes the extra mile. He puts us on that type of a priority list and puts things in our lives that help remind us that he is who he said he is, that he exists and he's real, and that he's our Lord and our Savior. There's lots of little bits, if we keep our eyes open, that help remind us of his existence. One of the most fun things that I've done in my ministry is hang out with kids and do worship talks. And I do nature talks with kids. And I'll pick an animal, and I'll just research the daylights out of it and find all the cool little bits and pieces about this animal. One of my favorite ones is the hummingbird. Such a cool little creature. It can beat its wings like 300 beats a second. Can't even count that fast. You look at all these different creatures and how they're just so beautifully made. And when I look at them, I see evidence of a loving God. I see a reminder that helps me believe. I see in people reminders of the character of Jesus. One of my favorite stories that Pastor Mark Finley shares is from when he was in Rwanda. And I may have shared this before. If I have, not sorry. It's a great story. He was in Rwanda, and he was visiting with one of the church officials there, and he said, hey, I want you to meet a lady here. And they went to this lady's home, and on the way there, he shared a little bit about the history of this lady. You see, when the genocide was happening there, she had people break into her home and right in front of her take a machete to her husband's forehead. Killed him with a machete right in front of her, and then he went to work on her. Split her head wide open, cut her on the hand, and she fell over and was left for dead in a pile of dead people. And she stayed in that pile, unconscious, for 3 days until the rebels had left, and they came by, and someone happened to check her pulse, and she had a pulse. And they took her to a hospital and nursed her back to health. Lost her whole family. All of her friends gone. And so a little bit later, as she was mending and healing, she decided she needed to do some good with her life, even though she'd had such horrible things happen. And so she would go and volunteer at the local prison, where a lot of the people who had done all these terrible things were locked up. And she kind of just took some of these people under her wing. She would do Bible studies with some of these people. And one day while she was in this prison, a young man came running up to her and fell at her feet, started crying. Finally, he stood up and he said, do you remember me? And she said, how could I forget your face? And it was the man who had come in with the machete and right in front of her killed her husband and then gone to work on her. And here's this young man in prison. And here she is. What a moment in time, huh? Now what do you do? Now, what do you say? And there in that prison, he begged her for her forgiveness. And she gave him a hug and said she forgave him. A couple of years later, he was released. All of his family had been killed subsequently, and he didn't have anywhere to go. She found out about this and said, "You can come live with me. My sons are dead. You can be my son." And so Pastor Finley's there, and she starts sharing this story, and she said, "Would you like to meet him?" And out of the back room comes this man who has totally ruined her family. But a young man that she has offered such pure forgiveness to, and even offered shelter and love to the one who took away her husband. And in little bits of beautiful humanity like that, on outrageous forgiveness, I see the reflection of Jesus in people. Not only in the things that God made, but I see reminders of a loving God in the people that he made. I look at that and I think there's no way anybody would ever do that unless there was a God who inspired them to do that. It makes no sense for somebody to forgive who's been so much hurt by this person unless they are inspired by a God who is in favor of forgiveness to go ahead and do it to the people that hurt you. It makes no sense unless there's a God. And so, not only in the things he made, but in the people that he made and the way that they treat each other in such a beautiful way sometimes, I am inspired and reminded that there's a God who loves me. I see the evidence in how people treat each other with kindness, love, and forgiveness. Isn't it awesome that God cares enough about you to put little reminders in your life that he's there? Little bits of inspiration from people you look up to, mentors maybe. Little bits of inspiration when you're at the zoo and you see some beautiful creation that God made. Or some wildly crazy looking creation. Whenever I see the giraffe, I'm like, wow. Thing's got such a huge neck. What inspired God to be like, let's do this, and perfect. But it's just amazing. And you see all these reminders. If you pay attention, God is putting reminders in your life every single day that he's there and that he loves you. God knew that sometimes our faith might waver. That maybe we would get so busy with life or maybe get so depressed sometimes because of the bad stuff that happens in life that we might question that he even exists or that he loves us. And yet, for each one of us, God takes the time to take the towel and to deliberately fold it up and to leave it right somewhere where he knows we're going to come across it. And knows that when we see that, we'll think, oh yeah, he does love me. He is real. He does care about me. The folded napkin. It takes a whole verse to describe just that one folded little piece of cloth. Jesus did that on purpose. He took the time when he had better places to be, more important people to see. He waited around for Mary Magdalene. Have mercy. He waited around for her. If he waits around for her, he's going to wait around for us too. And he will give us little reminders in our life that he's there. And not only that he's there, that he cares about you and that he loves you. We're going to close with a song, and then we're going to say a prayer to our Lord, thanking him for the little reminders that we have each and every day in our lives. If you've been struggling to know that God is real, this week, look for some of the reminders that he puts in your path. And be reminded that you are loved. That someone cares a whole lot about you. and is looking out for you and wants to have that close relationship with you. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, sometimes we get a little down and maybe our faith wanes a little bit. But Lord, we're so thankful that you fold the towel for us to see, that you put things in our pathway that remind us that you love us, that you care. Thank you, Lord, for going out of your way to help us believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.